it's great to have big ideas, but then take those ideas and try to make them realistic. If you were going to approach it, how would you approach it? How could you approach it right now in your current situation? Not, oh, only if I had $1,000, only if I had $1,000,000, I could do this. What can you do right now for free or for very little to no money? Whether that be through partnering with a local business or organization, or finding other people in your community to kind of join forces with to be able to really bring your vision to life.
Hello and welcome to the Event Promoter Podcast. In this episode, we have co-founder of Local Art Plug, Xavier Jackson from Omaha. I've been to quite a few of his events. He does really cool art events at the convergence of art, community, and technology. We dig into this interview and we find out that he's been promoting stuff like so many people all the way back when he was in college. He was promoting some cool events and just has kind of formalized that now. So we get into how to promote events in Facebook groups, how to bring community together, how to approach partners. Lots of good stuff in this episode. Let's welcome Xavier. Event Festa is a simple yet powerful tool for event organizers. With Event Festa, you can post your upcoming events to event calendars all through your city on the most popular websites without spending hours on each doing it manually. Get hours worth of marketing done for your events in 5 minutes or less with Event Festa. Check out how Event Festa can help your business today by checking out festa.fun/podcast. Well, awesome, Xavier. I appreciate you joining us for the Event Promoter Podcast. I have been to some of your events. I've had a good time at them. I thought they were really interesting art events. So I'm excited to kind of dive in here with you and talk a little bit about your experience and some of the things you're working on. Let's start out with the question that I'm asking everybody. In your own words, why do you think events are important?
Definitely. And thank you, Craig, for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast. I think events are important because they not only give you an opportunity to kind of get out of your house, maybe you can explore something new by getting out of your comfort zone, depending on what that event pertains to. But it also, I think the main point is the cross collaborations that can happen. You can meet a lot of people from different walks of life that you probably never would have met in any other setting besides at some type of public event.
Yeah, no, that's, I think it really ties communities together. We always say that at Event Festa, and I think people think it's just a little bit of a, like, you know, marketing speak, but it's really not. It's like, that's the whole reason we created the company originally. And I know it's a big part of what you do as well.
No, definitely. And yeah, some people overlook that sometimes, that the main focus of an event is to bring the community together, to bring people together around a common idea or goal.
Yeah, totally. So back up just a little bit, and I just want to let you introduce yourself. I did a little bit of introduction in the beginning, but I want to let you kind of tell us who you are and what are some of the ways that you work and do stuff in the event space.
Definitely. Yep. So like you said earlier, my name is Xavier Jackson. I'm the founder of the Local Art Plug. And some of the things we do in the event space is curate the creative community. And the way we do that is through a number of events. We either do large scale art exhibitions or larger events that pertain to new technologies and new advancements in the art or creative realm. And if we're not doing those, we're doing smaller, more informal events, such as our Creatives and Coffees, which meets twice a month. And it's just a great chance for people to get out of their house and kind of work on things with each other. I call it introverts being extroverted. We're all just kind of in our own little bubbles doing things. But besides that, we look for other opportunities to kind of combine not only businesses, but artists, nonprofits, and the community in this big synergy that helps bring together a lot of people from different walks of life.
Yeah, cool. I think that there's a lot of different types of events you've done. And what I really appreciate about you is, like, I mean, you're a creative yourself, so it makes sense. But you come up with really creative event ideas and then are really scrappy about just like testing them and getting them out the door. And I think that's super important to let people vote with their feet and be like, you know, like, let's just do this Creatives and Coffee thing and see if people show up. And it's like, oh, a bunch of people showed up. They must like it. Let's keep doing it. Like, and then it's like, oh, people keep showing up. Let's do it more often. You know, that's super important when you're trying to get started doing any kind of event stuff. So how did you first get into events? Like, how long have you been doing stuff with organizing and promoting events?
Definitely. With organizing and promoting events, I'd say our first one was 2019, and that was centered around the launch of our original website. We were called Showcase at that time, but what we really wanted to do also was not only highlight artists that are emerging and established, but bring those two communities together along with the public. So we had a group exhibition art show at Cali Commons. It was pretty well attended. I'd say about 50 people showed up. Cali Commons isn't too big, so it was pretty packed, and we had a good time. Yeah, it was a great time. That was definitely the first one. Super nervous going into it, as I am with every event. I think that's just a part of kind of doing performance type things, and I found that out through just other careers and just other things I've done in my history. That, like, if you're not nervous going into it, then you're probably doing something wrong, or maybe you're not human. That's just a normal.
You're not being ambitious enough.
Exactly, and that's a great way to put it. Oh, definitely, and it's a great feeling once it all does come together.
So what was was that the first event that you ever promoted, or did you ever do any stuff in your, previous life before Showcase or Local Art Plug?
I did throw a lot of parties in high school and in college. So maybe that's where I got a lot of my kind of grassroots talent from, organizing people and getting them together and being able to learn how to get the word out. I'm not a big partier myself, but every once in a while, I like to have a get together and like to get friends and family together and make sure that it's something that's going to be memorable for everybody involved, and that it's going to be an event that I myself would like to go to if someone else is throwing it. I try to think of things like that. And I think that mindset and just that experience in the past, I've been able to kind of bring that towards the events that we're doing now. Because even back then, maybe one or two people would show up, maybe 100 people would show up. Right? You kind of prepare for both scenarios, and then you just smile and have a good time regardless of what happens.
It's funny. That's a very common background for people that work in this space, is that promoting parties or just being the kind of person to, not necessarily like officially promoting parties, but just being like the person that gets all their, I'm that person too. Like that, it's just like we call those the group moms in at EventBest. This person that's just like, chaperones an entire group of friends to like go do an experience or event or something.
Relate to that.
Tell me about what is one of your favorite events that you've gotten to work on so far, just period, with a Local Art Plug or without.
In college, I guess we did organize some events there too. So we organized an event that's an annual one now. It's called Mobile Me and You. It's a Midwestern conference for multimedia journalists. And I think it's the only one in the nation, maybe. And we started that 2016 or 17 in college, and that one was pretty huge. Just because I got to see the way that I forgot all about that until this.
That happens when you do a lot of stuff. That's
Just starts coming back. So I feel like a Slumdog Millionaire. So yeah, we got to see kind of the ins and outs of not only how you organize an event, how you get sponsors, how you get kind of the big players involved. It's honestly just like a lot of cold calling or networking, using your personal network, and then being able to see that all come to fruition. And we all just like wore like suits and had catered drinks, and it was very fancy at the end. I was like, wow, this is cool. And that was a college class. I'd say a second and third event that I really love working on are Creatives and Coffees. That one was just kind of a spontaneous idea. It's very informal, super low overhead. We just said, hey, we're going to put out a Facebook post, and I'm going to show up to this coffee shop with my laptop. And it's turned out to just have really great reception, and it's something that people look forward to every twice a month. As of late, we're having our last one coming up on December 10th, and people are a little bummed about it, and they're like, oh, I can't make it to the last one, something something. So we'll figure out something fun to do for the folks. And then outside of that, I'd say working in the NFT and base. So we also threw a Plugged In event, which focused on NFT and Web3 companies and kind of what they're doing in the industry. And that one was successful. I'd say we had some people come from out of state to it, and a lot of different cross collaborations or collisions, however you want to say it. And that looks like it's going to be an annual event. I'll touch more on that later.
Yeah, sweet. That was one of the ones that I was at, and I think it's interesting with the creatives and coffees thing that like you didn't wait to like, and maybe you did, but it doesn't seem like you waited to like, book a coffee shop or something. Like you just did you coordinate with a coffee shop at all, or you're just like, hey, I'm gonna be here and we're gonna do this thing, and then maybe later we'll work with the figuring that stuff out.
That's a great question. So actually, that coffee shop used to be one of my little hidden secrets, little best hidden gems. And I'd always have all my meetings there, or take clients there, or take friends there and stuff. And they were always like, "Oh, this is super cool." And I figured that every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. I was already going to be working on stuff there, so I was like, oh, I might as well invite other people. And then my co-founder Jeff actually has a really good relationship with the people at Bad Seed, and he was the one who kind of helped set everything up originally, and then we've just been going strong ever since.
Oh, that's cool. It's always like those personal relationships that it all kind of ties together. What's like like a crazy story, something that wild that's happened as promoting shows or putting on shows that you're just like, damn, that was nuts.
Jeff and I threw our first show together last year at Modus co-working space, and it was called Breathe, and it focused on BIPOC artists and women artists and kind of the journey that they went through with COVID and what they were able to create on the other side of that. And we had this big, huge open space on the fourth floor of Modus. It might be like the size of a football field, I don't know, super high ceilings. Just all this wide open space. It looks beautiful, all these big glass windows. And we were supposed to have about like 12 artists, 12 to 15 artists. They all ended up showing up. But we told the artists to drop their stuff off, I think 5 days before the event was supposed to happen. And it was 3 days before the event, and nobody dropped anything off. So I mode a little bit and freaking out because we're just like in this big football size gallery, just looking at each other like, oh, I hope people show up and bring things. And then like the day before and 2 days before is when people really showed up with all their stuff. And we're like, okay, well, you gave us a heart attack, but I guess as an artist is sometimes they work at their own pace or have their own time and schedule. But that's not fun as an event promoter, because still on things to be able to guide what should happen next. So it's just you gotta always be prepared for the unexpected and just kind of ride the wave.
Yeah, totally. I've been in that exact boat before. So at the gallery that I used to host events at. What do you think is harder, organizing? Because you've done both. Like, what do you think is harder, organizing events or promoting events?
That's a great question too. So many good questions. I'd say it depends on the event, definitely. Like creatives and coffees. That one wasn't too hard to organize because there's not too many external players. There's not too many moving components. It's kind of just show up and that's it. Show up in sweatpants and stuff, and it'll still be a good time. But when it comes to the larger scale events, coordinating with partners and getting all the logistics down, that can be kind of a headache and almost turn into a full-time job itself. So that part of it can be difficult. But also with the promotion, it can be hard to get your word out there. Maybe you get shadow banned on social media. Maybe you're not getting as much reach, or you have to go in. What I often do is post in a bunch of different Facebook groups to help make sure the word and the reach and the spread is there. So that can be time consuming too. Both parts can be like a full-time job. I've been doing it so much now that it's like second nature. But I'd say the organizing of large-scale events is probably more difficult than the promotion. Because the promotion, at the end of the day, you just, copy and post once you come up with that one event title. And then the organizing, people fall out, people get back in, there's all type of mishaps.
Yeah, I think the bigger the event and the smaller your team with that big event. It's like you might do big events, but if you have a big team, then it's like, all right, that's doable. But when you're trying to do a big event with a few team members, it can be a lot.
Exactly.
On the promotion side, what do you think is most important for promoting event? Is it that title? You mentioned that.
Definitely a title. A title, a good name, something that's catchy that people are going to be able to recognize and say, oh, okay. That sounds like something I'd want to go to. So they can know, like, right off the bat without having to dig into it, like, Traders and Coffee or whatever or other. Pretty self.
What do you think makes a good event title?
Is it called alliteration when you use two of the same sounds? Traders and Coffee.
Like Crates and Coffee. Yep.
There's
One Shot Sunday.
that's Sunday. That's kind of our thing. Some things they roll off the tongue and sound kind of like, I don't know, like ads from the 50s, essentially, is kind of what I think of. And if not that, then it's got to be something that's going to be like bold and stand out at you.
So in addition to the titles, like what are some of your favorite ways? You mentioned the Facebook groups, like what are some of your favorite ways to promote an event that are kind of your tried and true? And is there anything kind of really interesting that you've tried that either did work or didn't work?
I've never really had good luck with flyers. I've tried doing like the physical, but First Friday and hand out flyers to people. It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. There's a lot more, that's a lot more labor intensive, I'd say. And I don't think that you can measure it as accurately as you can with the other mediums, but it's still effective in some forms. And then I'd say our best approach is really those Facebook groups, because we're part of so many that reach so many people or have so many members between like 5 to like 100,000 people that it's just, if you plug it in there, then there's going to be a ton of eyeballs on it. And we're going to get a lot of feed through back to the original event page or website or whatever we're trying to get them to do.
With those event or those different groups and stuff, what kind of groups are you looking for when you do that? And like, what are some of your strategies as far as like, I'm assuming you're not just like joining a group, dumping a link, and then disappearing. How do you strategize around that? Like, what's worked for you?
Nope, I join a group, dump a link, and then So oftentimes, actually, in a lot of those groups where I've done that, I've become like an admin. So now I just do it for.
Well, I think an interesting piece of it, and I think that event promoters maybe don't realize this, that is like, it's not like, it's a little less self-fulfilling when you're promoting events in a group, because it's like, this is something that's like, especially if it's an interesting event,
Inspiration.
it's like, this is something that's adding value, beyond just like, buy my music, buy my art, buy my thing, buy my thing, buy my thing. It's like, hey, we're putting together this thing. This is very unique. It's not the same as what everyone else is posting if they're trying to put like sell stuff. And also like, I know some of your events are free too, so that's a factor that I think helps it a little bit too.
Oh, definitely. I'd agree. And I've even had admins come to my defense where other people are like, oh, this isn't exactly music related. And then the admin's like, but I can see that anyone creative or even music people can attend this, so I'm not going to delete it. And I think it goes back to what you said. It's like if that post has value and you're not really spamming the group, download my new song, try my new product, but it's more so something that's going to be beneficial to all the people in the group. I think that's a thing that I do that I didn't really analyze either is I make sure that the post is appropriate to whatever group that I'm posting in. So if it's like something networking, I'm like, well, this could work for creatives and this could work for the startup community. So I can fit it into both posts. But if it's going to be something like a, I don't know, like an artist, I don't know, talk or something where we just work with artists and not the consumer side, we don't want to post that in kind of like the startup world because that has nothing to do with them. Maybe a few people would be interested, but it'd be seen as more of an annoyance.
Right. Yeah. I think you're more thoughtful about that than you maybe were giving yourself credit for.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So we do search out groups that pertain to local artists and local art collectors. And then there's lots of groups that focus just on certain mediums and genres as well. And we try to post in those too.
Yeah. Other than you, and local art plug, who's doing cool events, either in Omaha or in just the art industry in general?
Skatefest Omaha is doing a lot of cool events. I think they shut down for the remainder of the year. But they have a large skate fest event, which is basically a skateboarding festival every year in the fall. Culture House puts on a lot of cool events throughout the year. A lot of times I'll go to their open mics that they host every Tuesday, and those get a really good turnout, and the venue's beautiful, so it like fits the open mic vibe very well. It's on a different planet, different city. Right down the street from Culture House, NOMA. I don't know what NOMA stands for, North Omaha Music Association, maybe. They have a jam session every Tuesday, kind of going at the same time. So I've been able to make it out to the jam session. But if you're a musician or you know how to play an instrument, or you just like to sing or be around music, that's like the perfect place to go, and you'll meet a bunch of other people. Because I've seen also Facebook groups where people are trying to like start bands and they can't find people that join their band and stuff. So those are a lot of cool events that I've seen popping up. A lot more open mics and just even First Fridays in Benson. And for those of you who don't know what First Friday is, it's basically all the like art galleries and bars open up in a certain section of town, and they host local artists and local musicians, and it's kind of like an all night, all weekend event type thing.
Yeah, those are fun. We used to host one of those in my hometown too, through the art gallery. And it worked really well. People really showed up. There's alcohol involved. So alcohol and art, it's a good combination.
Oh.
If you were to give someone advice that's like, just graduating college, maybe is in college and interested in the events industry, interested in like hosting events or promoting stuff, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say do what's possible within your means. Don't try to overextend yourself. It's great to have big ideas, but then take those ideas and try to make them realistic. If you were going to approach it, how would you approach it? How could you approach it right now in your current situation? Not, oh, only if I had $1,000, only if I had $1 million, I could do this. What can you do right now for free or for very little to no money? Whether that be through partnering with a local business or organization or finding other people in your community to kind of join forces with to be able to really bring your vision to life. I'd say that's kind of the main thing, or one of the big things you should be thinking about.
Yeah, for sure. Those partnerships has been like an essential part of everything I've always done doing events, and I can't like stress that enough that it's worth asking too. I think some people might get, if you're really young or something, you might get really nervous about asking, and it's like you're gonna do a bunch of work like putting together an event, and if some business gets to like have you in their space and bring people into their space, and you're like doing that for them, or you know, they're able to get their name on something, or they maybe have an organization of members, like a musicians group or something. And it's like you just get to get at another event that people get to go to. You're adding value by doing that, and you get to get a bunch of work experience and stuff doing something that you're passionate about. And even if you're charging tickets and you make money off of it, it's still like, you know, you're taking the risk for them. So it don't be afraid to ask for that partnership.
No, definitely. Don't be afraid to ask, and don't be afraid of a no. A lot of times, no's just mean not yes right now. Depending on the situation, mostly business related. Don't use that in other parts of your life. If they say no, no means no.
Yeah, that's a good call out.
yeah, kidding. But where else was I going with that? Getting started, getting out there. Yeah, just like you said, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. The worst they can say is no.
Yeah. So thank you, Xavier, for sharing all that and sharing a little bit of your experience here. What are some of the things you're currently working on, and where can people find out about all of that?
Definitely. You can find out about all the cool events we're doing at localartplug.com or our Instagram page, local underscore art plug. And then we're on LinkedIn and Facebook as well at local art plug, one word. Some of the events that we have coming up, so we have another one shot Sunday, and we're probably going to be doing that throughout the remainder of the year, which is where we highlight different photographers in a smaller space down in South Omaha. And that event again is going to probably rotate monthly. That's looking at some time at the end of January. Stay on the lookout for that. We have a couples event coming up as well in February. Singles are invited too, but it'll be something very special and fun, and maybe you'll meet a friend there. Who knows? You never know. In the summer, we're having the NIC takeover, which is the Nebraska Innovation Campus. We're actually going to take over some gallery space there from July 1st to August 31st. We're going to have an opening reception slash artist celebration. We're still trying to decide on how big or small and intimate we should make that occasion, but we've got some time to plan on that one. And then lastly, in the fall, will be Plugged In 2. And this one, we're going to focus on VR, XR, and companies that are doing things in the AR space as well. And then we're working with the Maxwell folks to put together a hackathon with that too. So it might even turn into a 3-day event in the fall. So be on the lookout for that. And all those will be on our social media page.
Sweet. All really cool events. Thanks for A, just doing those. It adds some variety to the types of events and stuff happening in Omaha and in the innovation, bringing the art and innovation spaces together. It's really interesting.
Oh, definitely. I appreciate it. Someone's got to do it, right?
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Adrian.
No problem. Thank you for having me, and thank you for all you do, Craig, for the creative community and just the business community with Event Investing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Event Promoter Podcast. Event Promoter Podcast is brought to you by Event Vesta. Check out Event Vesta at info.eventvesta.com. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we'd love a rating. Tell us how the show has been for you. If you leave a comment when you rate us on Apple Podcasts, we'll make sure to shout that out in one of the future episodes. If you have any questions for me as an event promoter or for one of our guests, we can bring those up on those calls. Thanks for listening, and make sure to share this with other event promoters that you think this would be helpful for. Bye.